You know what? I've got some advice for you that might save you a little bit of money. I think seeking out professional legal advice in the long run can save you a lot of trouble, headaches, and money, perhaps down the line. And today we have a couple of attorneys here to talk about the importance of getting professional advice and maybe giving you a little professional advice as we go along here. Sarah Walkenhorst is a legislative attorney at the State of Wisconsin Legislative Reference Bureau. She concentrates on her practice in courts, domestic relations, gambling, health, medical assistance, DHS public assistance. She's also the president of the board of the Dane County Bar Association. And Sarah, thank you so much for coming by. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you for having me.
And Josh Kinekeppel is an attorney, concentrates his practice in the areas of business law, civil litigation, real estate, employment, and administrative agency matters. He's on the board of the Dane County Bar Association as well. And Josh, thank you so much for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Larry. Good to be here.
And I've had some fun talking with them before the show, and they're fun people, and they know a lot. So if you have a question, I hope you'll join in. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. Give us a call with your questions or comments. What are the most common reasons for getting an attorney? Might ask you both from your own perspectives. And Sarah, start with you.
I would say one of the most common reasons is what we would call sort of trusts and estates. When you're doing a will, dealing with a death in the family, those sorts of things, you need a lawyer oftentimes. Also in cases of divorce, planning for custody, separation, those types of things, family issues oftentimes lead to a need for an attorney. You also, if you're getting involved in a dispute with someone, when you're doing a contract, when you're getting involved in a dispute over, could be property, could be over a contract, could be just about anything. I practiced law before I joined the Legislative Reference Bureau. I was a civil litigator, did patent litigation. So if you're getting involved in intellectual property type of things, you also need a lawyer in that territory.
So we got the three D's so far: death, divorce, and dispute.
Yep.
what else have we? What else have we got, Josh? Of course, disputes involves a lot of areas, but
lots of different areas. People will come to see attorneys when they buy a business, when they want to start a business, they're going to sell a business. So there's folks that oftentimes are in the market for attorneys and counsel right at the outstart of their kind of owning their own business in their career. People will come, let's say they've gotten let go from a job, they might want an attorney to review a severance agreement, and that's something that employers usually recommend that they go have the document reviewed. So that's, it's usually a time of need and some sort or the other.
And how do you, I think there are obvious times we know we're going to need a lawyer, but how do you basically decide whether or not you need one? Is there a way to do it, or is it just if you think maybe I need a lawyer, that may be the time to go and see a lawyer?
Yeah, sometimes people around the individual will recommend that they see a lawyer. They say, I've dealt with this before, and I sought legal counsel, or I didn't seek legal counsel, and this is what happened, and it would have been much better had I actually sought out help in the beginning. Mm-hmm. So that can be one way. Sometimes people will just realize that it's either too complicated, they don't understand the document that's presented to them, or they don't understand the court process, and so people will seek someone out to help them.
And, I was thinking about this in my own cases where I've had to have an attorney for something. There was some house closings and whatnot. I really trusted my realtor, and I went to her and said, "Who do you recommend?" And she gave me a couple of names. And I went and talked to them, and I've sort of done the same thing in other circumstances, and I guess referrals is probably one way, at least, to go about finding an attorney.
I think word of mouth and referrals is a great way to start. You might not necessarily stop there, though.
Right.
And, you know, certainly the internet's a good place to look for some of these things. But when you're talking to your friends or talking to your family and coworkers, you know, about a legal issue, if somebody says, well, this person defended me in a criminal case, that might not be the person that you want to do your will. That's yeah. something I think a lot of people don't understand, is that lawyers often
have
specialties. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that makes a whole lot of sense. And I was trying to think of the number of different lawyers over the years. I've used, now that I think about it, quite a few, and all of them were, frankly, specializing in the areas where I needed to have that help. For example, with wills, I went to a person who was highly recommended by someone else, and looking at her background and so forth, she was a kind of logical choice for somebody to help me with my will. We have lots of callers online with questions already, and frankly, every line's filled. If you'd like to send us an email, you can do that at talk@wpr.org. Call, and we'll put you on, maybe get you on hold at 1-800-642-1234. You can also post on our Facebook page. I forgot about that. The Facebook page title is The Larry Mueller Show. That's the title of our page. So if you want to post there, please feel free to do that as well. And we'd love to hear from you. And I've got so many things to talk with you about, but let's take some calls. Jerry in Franklin has a question. Let's go there first. Jerry, hi. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, everybody. I didn't catch the names as I was calling. So I have a kind of a complex thing to me anyways. I got hurt at work. Not a bad injury, but it cost me 2 weeks of pay.
Mm-hmm.
The insurance company that handles the workman's comp for my work sent me a form, and I signed that so that the doctors would fill out their information. And here's what's alarming to me. So I only gave them permission to get the records that were about the injury. However, the medical provider provided a whole bunch more information about my personal health that I thought HIPAA laws protected me on.
Mm.
And that's my one question. My second question is that eventually they denied me because thinking that 2 weeks pay probably wasn't enough to retain a lawyer or go after, and they wouldn't give me help on how I appeal that. So if I could get both of those things answered, I'd...
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we may or may not be able to give you all the answer to that, but let's... Josh, you want to start?
Sure. Before Sarah and I came on the show this morning, we talked to the State Bar's Ethics Council to make sure we stayed in the straight and narrow and when we got phone calls and dispensing information and advice. Neither Sarah and I really work in those areas of law, and so we do have a resource that we could give the caller.
Oh, excellent.
And then... And I think we could start with the Lawyer Referral Information Service, which is a state bar service. And the state bar is the professional organization for lawyers in Wisconsin. And what Jerry can do is give them a call or go online and explain his situation. And they should be able to match him up with an attorney that does workers' compensation law. Mm-hmm. And the number for that is 1-800-362-9082.
1-800-362-9082. Okay. All right. And was there something else? Sarah, do you...
I think just a comment. That attorney, you know, that Josh was referencing from the referral service, the attorney that they match the caller up with would be able to talk with them a little bit about the concerns that they have and maybe just how to proceed. It sounds like there was a lawyer already involved on the other side of this. So I think it's, you know, that's a good place to start and to get information about it. As Josh said, we're not specialists
and that information would be provided free of charge, would it not? Yeah. Yes, it would. Okay. All right, Jerry, good luck. Thanks for calling. Sue in Pulaski, we'll give you a chance. Hi, Sue.
Hi. I have a question. I need to do a durable power of attorney and a durable power of attorney for health care for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I have my mother's, who is 98, I have her paperwork. Can I basically copy hers and take my document and have it notarized, and would it be a legal document then?
Mm-hmm. Good question. That is a good question.
One thing you want to think about, Sue, is you want to understand what your mom had put in her power of attorney documents, and you don't want to necessarily assume that you want exactly what your mom wanted. And so, the best thing that we could tell you is contact the lawyer referral service, but you could also contact a local attorney who could walk you through that form to make sure you understand it. Some of the language can be tricky to understand, and that's one of the purposes that we can provide. One of the offerings is to go things very. Go through documents like that very specifically and help you, have a informed understanding of what you're choosing.
Larry, this might be a good time. Actually, Sue's question raises a point about, just what kind of fees people look at when they deal with these types of things. And I think a lot of time hourly rates and those types of things scare people off. But this is a good example where I think attorneys have various arrangements, and you want to talk with an attorney about that. And if you can sometimes meet with an attorney and do something called a fixed fee and say, I'd really like you to look over this document and determine, if this is what I need. And you might be able to, you can talk with the attorney about, I'll pay you X amount of money to do X task.
Yeah,
And oftentimes lawyers can reach an agreement with you about doing only a limited type of thing like that.
Well, I would, I think it would be nice to have somebody there who is actually an attorney say, okay, this is correct, mm-hmm. and then you've got that behind you, and if you can do that for whatever, who knows? I have no idea what something like that would cost. A couple hundred dollars, $100. If you've got something that's already done and you're asking for an attorney to look it over and say if this is correct, that's to me is different from would you sit down and write this up for me?
Yeah, I think it is different, and it depends how complex it is. It depends, what the details. It's very personalized. That's one of the things. If you look at something, there's a lot of resources online. Things that people can do to sort of self-help and start the process. Mm-hmm. But oftentimes, a lot of that stuff is for mass marketing. It's not real specialized to a person's particular circumstances. I would say it doesn't hurt to talk to an attorney, and it, at least that initial phone call, ask the question how much it will cost to have the conversation about what you're looking for. But you should at least be able to get through that initial step, whether you're talking to the receptionist at a law firm or you get on the phone with an attorney, ask, can I talk with you about what my circumstances are and what I need? And they should be able to give you an answer about, what that might cost you and what you're looking at as far as a fee.
There we go. All right. So.
Yep. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. You can join in, too. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. I had an email question from Ralph in Janesville. How do you find an attorney to tell him what legal action to take? He has a need to reduce external noises he hears. In the neighborhood, is there? So this sounds to me like a kind of a neighbor sort of issue. What kind of attorney typically would deal with something like that?
Sounds like a private nuisance type
case.
Yeah.
And so that really falls in the realm of both litigation, civil litigation, and someone who does real estate, because it's the use of the property and how that impacts your neighbors and those around you. And so those, I would start with someone that does real estate work and see if they have any experience with nuisance law.
Okay, and you might find somebody who does both? Possibly?
Certainly.
Yeah,
you might. Okay, so there's where to go first. Joy in Janesville has a question. Joy, hi, thanks for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question about grandparents' rights concerning visiting with their grandchildren. Where would I go with that, a family law attorney?
That's a good question, Joy. And so here's a situation where a grandparent might want the ability or the right to visit his or her grandchildren.
I think you definitely want to start with someone who specializes in family law. Those issues can get complicated, I think, pretty quickly, and so there are a lot of attorneys who specialize in doing family law. I think you could start also with the State Bar Referral Service that Josh mentioned is a place where you could even start with that dispute if you want to get an idea about it. There's also a lot of clinical programs up at the University of Wisconsin Law School that I think would probably take calls, you know, from statewide. They have a family law project and a family court clinic where they might be able to give you some resources or assistance with that type of issue as well. You can call the law school. I have a phone number for that.
Sure, give that too.
The number up at the law school, and they should be able to direct you to the clinical programs, is 608-262-2240.
608-262-2240. 2240, is that it?
Mm-hmm.
2240, okay. We'll post those up. Cheyenne will put those up on our Facebook page. And so if you didn't get those, just go to our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show, and you can get them. Talking today about maybe when you need a lawyer, how to find one, with our two guest attorneys, Sarah Walkenhorst and Josh Kinekeppel. I'm Larry Miller. Cheyenne Lentz, our on-air producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Taking a look at legal issues today, when you need a lawyer, how to find one, with our two guests, Josh Kinekeppel and Sarah Walkenhorst. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Liz in Heartland next. Liz, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yes, I have a question. If I were selling my home and I've identified a buyer for my home, and we're talking about something that's like $600,000, would it be less expensive to close the deal using a real estate attorney and avoid the 6% realtor fee?
Well, that depends on the lawyer, I suppose. I don't know. What do you think, Josh?
I would say more likely than not, it would be less expensive to hire a real estate attorney in that case. You can do the math, and no real estate attorney's fees should be the equivalent of 6% of a $600,000 house. lots of times in transactions, agents, real estate agents, and attorneys will work together if it's a complicated transaction. If you're the seller and you have the benefit of knowing who the buyer is, that could be a very friendly transaction. You could hire your own attorney. The buyer could hire their own attorney and work out a deal. So that's a unique situation. So good for you if you can save that money.
Yeah. The other, and I could just talk from my own experience. Once I had had a buyer on a house that was kind of in that price range, and or a little less, but had a person, but I had a real estate agent that I knew, and I contacted that real estate agent. We were able, because that real estate agent went ahead and did the closing, but not for the 6%. So there's that option as well.
That's
that,
right.
That can be done as well. And obviously the real estate agent said, well, I am not expecting, you know. So that's another way to look at it, Liz. And it doesn't hurt to really to ask.
Right.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot for calling. And more callers on line. Wade in Spring Valley, your turn. Hi, Wade.
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you very much for taking my call.
Sure.
Say, I'm going to test your lawyers there. This one might confuse them a little. I have a trust account that was set up by my mother and father when they passed away, that is set up for myself, my wife, and my daughters. It's a very large monetary value.
Mm-hmm.
Put in care another lawyer, a local lawyer that they knew of. And he, like I said, he is taking care of this trust. My wife and I have went to another lawyer because we felt something was fishy. in turn, we found out I basically got screamed at by him. He will not return phone calls to me. He will not
respond.
It's like he's non-existent. And he's always told me, hey, call me, you know, anytime, and I'll give you any information you want, and he will not do it.
So here we've got a situation that is not, well, I see troubling would be probably a mild way to put it for Wade, who called in here. Mm-hmm. What do you do in a situation like that when you're obviously not happy with what's going on? Sarah, you want to take that?
Well, a couple of things come to mind. As a general matter, lawyers are licensed. We're a regulated profession. And as part of that, we have ethical responsibilities that we have to, and ethical standards that we have to maintain. We can't talk to the specifics of this particular situation. But I think in any situation where you're worried or not getting communication from your attorney in a problem situation such as this, lawyers have to maintain a certain standard, and you can communicate about that, and they have a responsibility. I think one of those ethical responsibilities is we need to communicate with our clients in a reasonable time frame and answer questions and those types of things. It sounds like you've already gotten an attorney involved, and maybe, if the monetary value is that high, it seems to me maybe you go back to that attorney that you've been talking with, the third-party attorney,
yeah.
and maybe reopen those communications, and an attorney could help with that, help get some responses.
So the attorney, and not necessarily in this case, but generally speaking, if you get another attorney involved, that attorney is going to contact the first attorney? Or provide?
Yeah, the new attorney can act as kind of a conduit, mm-hmm. because of the strain on the relationship, mm-hmm. with the attorney that's been appointed as the trustee in this situation. Because that relationship is strained and difficult right now, the third-party attorney will come in and be able to express the concerns of the client, in this case Wade, and let the original attorney know that there needs to be better communication, and they certainly could look at having someone else appointed as that trustee position.
So that's possible in some circumstances, at least, to have somebody else appointed.
It could be. I mean, it'd be worth something looking
into.
I'm
not saying in this case, but it is possible to have a different attorney appointed.
I think as a general matter, as Josh said, not maybe in this particular circumstance, but as a general matter, you can. I think there are changes in these types of situations sometimes. Trustees can change. It depends. Sometimes that'll involve court action, going to court to get it changed because of a specific circumstance or there's a problem that's arising.
All right. But it's something at least you can consider.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
Well,
so get a hold of that other attorney, Wade. Thanks very much. That's my advice. At least that's what I do. If I was in your shoes, I'd be talking to another attorney for sure. Brad in Blanchardville, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had a question about, I was denied health insurance. My coverage on my health insurance. I don't want to name the company I have for my health insurance, but
sure.
I was denied coverage for a pre-existing condition,
okay.
And since the past of Obamacare and everything, I was in the assumption that they could not deny you coverage for anything.
For a pre-existing.
And I was wondering if I should go talk to a lawyer or where I can get more information.
Okay. Yeah, I think we can help you out there. Sarah, do you want to start?
Well, more information. I think the State Bar's Lawyer Referral Service is a really good place to start with that type of thing, to figure out, whether you need a lawyer and to talk to someone who does that specific type of law. They can get you an initial consultation with someone who knows what they're talking about in that particular area.
Okay, so the number on that is, if I'm not mistaken, 1-800-362-1800. 800-362-9082?
Exactly.
Yeah, 800-362-9082. And when you talk to them, you know, this is free advice, and they're going to recommend somebody who can help out, probably not free at that point. But
right. Well, with that program, it's attorneys that sign up to be part of it, and the state bar will, you know, do an intake session with the individual client, and then essentially take that information and match them up with an attorney who has agreed to provide the first half an hour consultation for $20, and then the beyond there,
then whatever
attorney can charge their normal rate.
But that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
Really good deal. So again, that 800 number, 1-800-362-9082. You get off to the right start.
Yeah. And Larry, there's a lot of legal clinics around that can help with some of these areas as well. And you can find some of these resources if you look at your local bar associations. Here in Dane County, you can look at dcba.net, and we have a resources page that can point you to some of the legal clinics. One that comes to mind with this healthcare situation would be ABC for Health. It can also, you know, point you in the right direction as to what to do.
Oh, ABC for Health, it's
mm-hmm.
called? Okay, there we go. Thanks again, Brad, for calling. Appreciate your call. Delwyn in Phillips, Wisconsin, up next. Hi, Delwyn. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you. My question was that I would like to make up a will. Do I need an attorney to do that?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Technically, you don't need an attorney. People are, with the advent of different online legal services, people are paying a fee and downloading forms, and so you could fill that out. And if it's filled out correctly, you don't need an attorney. What we've found in our practice is that sometimes, you know, the content of the form will be good. It might be similar to what we would draft, but the person didn't realize they needed to fill in certain blanks or misunderstood it. So what they're trying to effectuate does not actually happen. And so that's where some of the difficulty can arrive.
So you could fill it out and then have an attorney take a look at it.
You could.
And probably maybe for less than if you... It might turn out costing you less than if you just had the attorney draw it up for you in the first place.
Yeah, it would be more like a consultation, and the attorney could help you determine whether or not it needs to be redrafted or certain information is missing that could be filled in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is it legal to write up your own and have it notarized?
There's certain statutory requirements as far as making a will, and I can't speak to exactly what those are. I think, you know, I seem to recall from my past life you may need two witnesses, but there are certain requirements that you have to fulfill to make your will legal and valid and enforceable in the state of Wisconsin. That's where you want to be careful. And, you know, some of the legal forms that you can find online, you know, may help you get there, but as Josh said, they may not be personalized enough to make sure that you've got everything that you need, or that it can, you know, that once you've signed it, that it will be enforced as you think it will be.
Well, there you go. Thank you very much, Delwyn, for calling. Appreciate it. What, Diane in Milwaukee has a comment or a question. Hi, Diane. Thanks for calling.
Good morning. I was the executor of the estate, and the lawyer would not share any of the income tax forms, took over the checkbook. We want to make a will. We want to know how to check if someone is honest or not before we do it.
Okay, so how do you find a, this has to perhaps in a way to do with ethics, but how do you find a lawyer to handle that?
With the increase of online traffic, online databases, people can find out if there's been complaints or disciplinary action taken against lawyers. So, for example, if you're looking to have someone that's licensed in Wisconsin, you know, write up a will, then you could look at wisbar.org and type in the attorney's name, and it'll show if the attorney's license is active, if it's been suspended for whatever reason. Mm-hmm. And so that's one way. Also, there seems to be national websites that latch on to attorneys that have been dishonest in some way. And so if you do an internet search with that attorney's name, that may also pop up.
Mm-hmm. And to get just good advice, would you go back to that other 800 number for selecting an attorney to begin with if you have no idea where you want to go?
That's a good spot. If you mm-hmm. if you don't if you're not able to get a personal referral, then you know, rather than just picking a name out of the yellow pages, it may be helpful to go there, and that way you're getting someone that has at least shown an interest or a designation in the particular area you're looking for.
Okay. Yeah.
Some local bar associations have, Milwaukee Bar Association from the Milwaukee area has a referral service, I think, on their website. Dane County Bar Association doesn't do referrals, but we do have on our webpage a member search where you can look for people who practice in that area. You can do it by practice area to at least narrow down your search a little bit.
Okay, too. And so if it's on that, if it's on a bar association website, it's mm-hmm. likely that that person is.
I think the referral service might, you know, will make a, you know, perhaps an assessment about how, you know, a person's practice or whatnot. Dane County Bar Association will not, you know, we're not saying this is a good or a bad attorney. We just have our members. We will only say that's a member of. The State Bar Referral Service, I think, operates a little bit differently in that they'll guide you to a person who is practicing in that particular area and will point you to someone who's on their list.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. I appreciate your call. I'm wondering about sort of a more general question, and we discussed it a little bit, but this whole business about technology these days and how that has affected the practice of law, it's made some differences, hasn't it, Sarah?
Absolutely. We were talking a little bit, I think, about how the phenomenon of Facebook and social media has, I think, changed the practice of law and just what can become evidence that you don't really think about. We're posting pictures and talking online all the time and don't give another thought to it. But those things can have consequences if you're involved in a legal dispute. For example, in a workers' compensation, I think that's when you often see headlines that, you know, someone has claimed an injury, but they'll post a picture that they're out partying or lifting mm-hmm. weights or doing something that is contrary to what would entitle them to the workers' compensation. And that stuff can show up in court. It can easily show up in court. In, I think, family disputes, that type of material can show up, you know, in court, too, and can be used against you. So it's just something to be mindful of all the time. You know, what are you posting online?
And what about, and many calls had in their sort of in the background or even right up front, costs. And what about charges? I think, you know, people are, you know, we just got through a little bit of a recession here. Consumers want value for their money. Are clients also making it known that they expect, or what should, well, let me put it this way, what should clients expect on the cost side of things, not necessarily exact dollar amounts, but what? How do you approach that? And
they should ask questions. I think that's the bottom line. Is that when they're approaching this, you are the consumer as a client, and you can call law firms, you can call solo practitioners if you want to talk to your neighborhood attorneys. You know, talk to them and ask the question: how much are you going to charge me to do a particular thing? And that's an answer a lawyer should be able to give you some idea. You know, sometimes when you're in a dispute, there's some unknowns. If they tell you this is a sure winner and it's only going to cost you, you know, $10, you should raise some questions about that. But it's a question you're entitled to ask, and it's a question you're entitled to have answered, I think, right up front.
And what about the and I assume the payment process varies mm-hmm. a bit as well. What's a typical kind of thing? Are you pay as you kind of go, or you? I imagine there's a certain amount of money put down. I'm thinking about my own experiences. There's a certain amount of money that's put down first, depending on your situation, and then...
Yeah, I think one thing I would say, and I'll let Josh answer this more fully, but one thing I would say is don't assume that when you talk to one attorney that it would be handled exactly the same way, the fee arrangement or something, by another attorney. You should always ask. you know, sometimes you do need to pay some upfront. Some types of cases, personal injury are a good example, are handled on a contingency fee basis, but other cases just are never handled that way. There's some cases that are handled on an hourly rate and sometimes on a fixed fee, but there's a lot of variety.
Yeah.
Maybe you can talk some more about it.
And just to follow up on the point about kind of doing an interview of attorneys, oftentimes people that are looking for an attorney will contact several attorneys, and you know, there's a lot of really good attorneys in a particular area of law, and so that the special kind of fit or connection that you have with someone is often the determining factor whether you go between two or three equal candidates, and you should leave the attorney's office having a pretty good understanding of whether it'll be a flat fee, what the relationship is. And in Wisconsin, if you have a new client and you have a reasonable expectation that the fee is going to be $1,000 or more, the Supreme Court requires you to disclose the scope of the representation. What are you going to do for that attorney? How the client is going to be billed, whether it's the flat fee, contingency fee, whether it's going to be hourly.
Mm-hmm.
And then also they want you to explain to the client what out-of-pocket disbursements are going to be charged back to the client. So that could be for copy fees or medical costs or recording fees. So it's something that I think attorneys are really very understanding. They're used to questions don't feel afraid to really do your due diligence so you know what you're getting into.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we had a Facebook comment from Patty that I think was good as we were talking about health care. As Patty pointed out, there's a free resource for durable power in health care at the hospital, at your own hospital or your PCP office. You know, those folks are... Sarah, they're experts, and they've certainly had a lot of experience, let's put it that way.
Yeah, they should have some pretty good expertise about filling out some of those materials and should be able to point you in the right direction about filling those out. Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion about legal services like Legal Shield or that sort of thing? You have any opinion? I suppose, once again, this is a question from email question from Greg at Amherst, but it might vary depending on the service.
Do you know what Legal Shield is?
No, that's one I haven't heard of. If that's something similar to LegalZoom is one that I've heard of. You know, things that are supposed to help you self-help. I think they're an interesting tool, and I think you can use them to gather more information and become educated before you even go into an attorney's office. I think they are helpful for that. And in some cases, if it's a simple enough problem, maybe you can do it on your own. People do small claims cases and other cases on their own, and that's not always necessarily a bad thing. But be careful, be aware of what you're doing. And, I know on LegalZoom, when you look at that, read the fine print, there's disclaimers and that stuff is mass marketed. And you need to be careful. You know, sometimes you need to have some confidential communications with an attorney. And if you're talking to someone from LegalZoom, I'm not sure whether or not they can promise that you have an attorney-client relationship. So just be mindful of what you're looking at and what promises, you know, what the service will do for you and what it can't. There's some limitations, and you just need to know what they are.
Well, this time, boy, the time flew by. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I hope we can do this again and talk some more about legal issues. Sarah and Josh, thanks again.
Thank you, Larry.
Thank you, Larry.
Appreciate having them here. Sarah Walkenhorst, the legislative attorney at the State of Wisconsin Legislative Reference Bureau, and she's also the president of the board for the Dane County Bar Association. Josh Kinekeppel is an attorney, concentrates his practice in the areas of business law, civil litigation, real estate, also on the board of the Dane County Bar Association. So it's great to have them here. And we're going to try and do more shows down the road, or some maybe more regular shows with attorneys, and maybe just get into some specific areas and concentrate on specific areas, maybe one thing one month and something else different another month. So great to have them along. We were kind of joking and talking beforehand about divorce and how we know somebody who has shares custody with their dog. So the husband, the former husband, has it 1 week, and the wife gets it the next week. And that kind of brings me to our next show that's coming up next. We're going to talk about a great book out. I've really enjoyed reading it. It's called My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts. That coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.